出奇啊！喺同一个地方生活咗咁耐，唔多唔少都会有大家嘅影子。呢样咪就好似电车一样，同香港都分唔开啦。
So the music tells us we are somewhere very special. I'm in Hong Kong, and we are celebrating the 120th anniversary of Hong Kong Tramways. It opened in 1904. This wonderful system, the largest double-deck tram system in the world, started construction in 1903. It was built from Kennedy Town to Causeway Bay, and 26 tram cars were built in the UK and shipped for assembly in Hong Kong. There were two classes. You could travel first class or third class. In 1922, it was extended to Happy Valley for the horse race course. And by 1924, there were further extensions as well. Hong Kong Tramways also used to run franchise bus services, but in 1933, those services were lost to China Motor Bus. Fast forward to 1998, when they went from China Motor Bus to New World First Bus, which is now integrated inside City Bus. The tram fleet grew to over 100. But of course, in 1941, Hong Kong was seized by the Japanese. Services still ran, but only on a really very limited basis. But by the end of the war, many trams were reinstated, and the sections of single track were doubled. In 1950, Hong Kong Tramways was making its own trams, and to this day, all cars are built locally. With extensive reworking and with further line extensions, by 1946, there were 146 double-decker trams operating here in Hong Kong. And demand continued to increase, and by 1960, these double-deck trams were towing trailers. Actually, the trailers were all first class for first class passengers, and they lasted until 1982. Very popular now to have advertising on trams. That started in 1970. This really continues now. And also in the 1970s, first class was abolished. We're all the same. Conductors were abolished in 1976, and we now have a pay-as-you-leave system here in Hong Kong. You get on the back, go past a turnstile or a barrier, and you pay as you exit. It used to be just with coins and notes, but now, of course, you can use Octopus or touch-on, touch-off type credit and debit cards. The system is on a bit of a narrow gauge, and so the tram design and that narrow layout continued. But over the years, we've introduced fluorescent lighting, trams are more modern, modern floor coverings, modern design, and now we run from two depots, one in the east and one in the west. They replaced one big depot in the centre in the 1980s. There used to be pointsmen that would control the points, but in the 1993, everything was automated, so there are no pointsmen anymore, there are no manual points on the system. And technology was used to reduce noise, improve the quality of the ride, and the trams were made a bit taller, so the upper deck passengers had a better experience. And nowadays, now in the 2000s, we've got real-time information, passengers can actually plan their journeys. So the operation is currently provided by RATP Dev under contract. And as you know, I'm the chairman of RATP Dev UK. This tram system is completely unique. That's the own design which we have there. And of course, many of them carry advertising. When the tram service was first introduced, the system was quite near the coast, but there's been so much land reclamation that the tramway is not as close to the harbour as it once was. But, you know, if you're going to travel east-west on Hong Kong Island, the tram is easily the cheapest and most fun service that you can do. So here we are, 120 years on, and Hong Kong Tramways still servicing Hong Kong. So we've been at the 120th anniversary celebration, and here is Managing Director Paul Tivordi addressing the guests.
Finally, this anniversary is above all a tribute to our staff. Some of them are in the room. We all know that public transport is a people-based industry. It is even more the case of Hong Kong Tramways. Throughout the year, 7 days a week, from 5 a.m. to 1 a.m., our motormen and motorwomen drive the tram. Come rain or shine, they are reliably there. Throughout the years, our technicians maintain and repair the trams and their components, and they build new trams. Not to forget the supporting staff, engineers, marketing, operations support, HR, finance. We may wear different work shirts, but we share the same passion for Ding Ding. 20 of our staff, among the most loyal, who dedicated a large part of their life for the company, will receive long service awards today. They really deserve these awards, as well as our gratefulness and appreciation. Having said that, what's next? Today, we close the second 60-year cycle in the history of the company. Tomorrow, we will start writing new chapters, new pages. We embrace this challenge with confidence, determination, and commitment. We believe that Tramways have a bright future ahead. We want to make Ding Ding shine for many years to come. And we are not only a piece of history. We can do and we want to do much more. First of all, we want to do more in terms of public transport. Decreasing ridership is not inevitable. There are many things we can do with the support of you and your teams, with clever innovation, to improve the commercial speed and attractiveness of our trams for the passengers. Second, we will keep modernizing our tram system without affecting its beloved design. It is about investing in rolling stock, in infrastructure, and making use of digital, big data, new technologies. Third, we will continue to develop our scope of activity. One example, we want to leverage even more our tramways as a major tourism attraction for the city. And finally, in terms of community engagement, this is also the purpose of this celebration. And choosing Queen's College as a venue, as well as the Tram Plus STEM programs that we launched 3 years ago, demonstrates our commitment to pass the tram heritage on to the next generation. We are an old company, but we remain young at heart. It would take hours to share everything, but we have many projects and plenty of innovative ideas. So more than a heritage, we aim to be a 120-year-old startup, part of an international group, serving Hong Kong community and residents, and bringing a positive contribution to this extraordinary city. You can rely on my team to do our best every day for this purpose. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you very much for supporting us.
Thank you, Paul.
And now, after Paul, we welcome to the stage the RATP Dev Deputy Chief Executive Office, Merdi Sinasser.
Thank you. Dear Secretary Lam, dear Principal Secretary Chan, Honorable Mr. Ying, dear Dr. Pang, dear Commissioner Li, Honorable Legislative Council members, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It is truly an honor to see so many friends of Ding Ding gathered today for this remarkable 120th birthday. Actually, many things about the Hong Kong Tramway and the Ding Ding are remarkable. Allow me to share a few of them. And first, allow me to introduce myself briefly. I am the Deputy CEO of RATP Dev, and I'm in charge of all our international transport network and projects. In the 15 countries in which we operate, everyone adores Ding Ding, and you probably will see a direct tribute from all our fellow companies and subsidiaries to Ding Ding. But this year, as China and France celebrate the 60th anniversary of the diplomatic relations, allow me to focus on really a lot of the things we share in common between Paris Metro and Hong Kong Tramway. And first and foremost, Ding Ding is truly unique. It is one of a kind. As you know, it is one of the very few double-decker tram fleets in the world. And with 165 tram cars, it's certainly one of the largest. Amazing for us versus other cities, it does change its garments and livery. Every time we come, it looks slightly different. Its French cousin, the Paris network, is also one of a kind. It is probably the largest, densest public transport network in the world and evolving fast. And we are both Ding Ding and the Paris Metro. We are both 120 years old. So happy birthday to us. The second point in common is modernity. Despite being 120 years old, Ding Ding is, as Paul stressed, eternally young. As you can imagine, there are no longer double-decker tram manufacturers in activity to replace old cars with new. Sometimes the wood has transmuted itself to aluminium. Yet all of these cars are constantly maintained, upgraded, replaced, rebuilt, retrofitted to ensure Ding Ding remains fit for purpose, and not only fit, but actually newer and modernized. Ding Ding is host to ambitious digitization programs, the latest security upgrades, a new world-class electronic payment system, and many more features. And yes, the same goes for the Paris Metro network, which is constantly modernized, extended, automated. Over the past few months, and ahead of the Summer Olympics, we have extended 3 metro lines, 1 tram line. We have added close to 100 kilometers of tracks and 150 stations, while automating 1 new line. By the way, if you actually come to Paris, you will be able to commute from Orly Airport right to the center of Paris through the latest extension of Line 14. And all of this without any disruption of service, because what we share in common is passengers first. Third common point, there are a full range of all of the expertise needed to transport people safely and timely from one place to another. In Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Tramway, the Ding Ding team does everything in-house. 24/7 operation, maintenance of the tram, of the tracks, of the infrastructure, design and production of the trams, and all the vital components, including bogies, as well as the promotion of the landmark transport, participating in advertising campaign, supporting Hong Kong tourism, and much more. And that implies a relentless training and nurturing of all of the critical skills to keep this network alive, and more to the point, thriving, and to support the 150,000 travels per day that it delivers. Same goes for Paris. We master, or we look after every expertise link in the value chain, from network and system design to maintenance and asset management, energy efficient management, an increasing stake for all of the transport networks, passenger experience, safety, urban services, digitization, and of course, especially at a time like this of the Olympics game, the management of major event and the channeling of crowd flows throughout the network. Actually, allow us as RATP to take the opportunity to congratulate Hong Kong on its recent success in fencing with 2 gold medals and in swimming with 1 bronze, I understand. We are very happy for Hong Kong, and we are also very proud that it takes place in Paris. And the last thing that we share together is a commitment to environment and social responsibility. Of course, in general, public transport makes sense for the environment, for the community, and for society in the amount of people it transports and in the type of energy it uses, in our case, electricity. And of course, this is true out of everything for Ding Ding. Ding Ding is an electric fleet. It's the first electric public transport means in the island history. We have just measured its carbon footprint, and we are hard at work trying to diminish energy consumption every single day. On a different plane, we are also partner to many universities, and we are trying to imbue the ambition of a technical or an engineering career with many of the technical and engineering schools with whom we partner. It is an education vehicle, and we certainly hope it will keep bringing many vocations to the tram. To close, we look within RATP at 2 things, and they have to do with mobility. Mobility of passengers goes without saying for Ding Ding and for Paris. But the second is mobility of people, and whether people joining our international network or some of our international executives joining Hong Kong Tramway, we make sure that people travel along the RATP and the public transport voyage. And the other is, of course, mobility of ideas. Because of Ding Ding's unique business model, which includes wide-ranging full commercial and tourism activities beyond the traditional operation and maintenance that we do everywhere else in the world, we have the opportunity to exchange the best of Hong Kong ideas and the best of Paris ideas as to how to promote passenger transport and customer experience. So to close, as you guessed from our tone, DingDing means a lot of us, a lot for us all at RNTP Dev, and of course for Hong Kong, needless to say, it's iconic. As we said, it keeps changing its colors, but it's always the same. It has an amazing range of products, free ride days. There's not many photos in Hong Kong yet which it doesn't feature. And actually, last time I came through the airport, I brought back DingDing type sweets to my daughter, which was amazed of how far the image would go. And we proudly ferry both residents and tourists. It is unique. It has the magical feature of being both of a respectable age and eternally young. It contributes to the vibrancy of the city. It is a father of Hong Kong's vision, history, ambition, distinctiveness, and attraction as a global city. And with this, I thank you all very much, and let us join together in wishing a very happy birthday to our beloved DingDing network. Maybe there be many more happy years ahead. Thank you.
It was our great honor to welcome Mr. Sai Hung Lam, the Secretary for Transport and Logistics in the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region, to address our guests.
Betty, Henry, Paul, distinguished guests, friends, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is my great pleasure to join you all to celebrate Hong Kong Tramway's 120th anniversary of service. Today marks a significant milestone for not only the tramways, but also for Hong Kong's public transport system. Tram is one of the oldest modes of public transport and the earliest mass transit system in Hong Kong, running along the north coast of Hong Kong Island, traversing the every part of the city for 120 years. For these years, with rapid changes in the city and the emergence of other transport modes, the tramways remains one of the most well-liked, iconic, and affordable choices of public transport for commuters and tourists alike. The tramways has been the backdrop and even part of so many important and historic moments of Hong Kong and our people. Though our city has changed vastly since 1904, our trams have had a constant presence in Hong Kong's people's life in the evolving landscape at times. It is much more than just a means of transport for so many of us here. It is a local pride and fixture known for its legacy and craftsmanship. The film of the 120th anniversary celebration, moved by our every journey, particularly resonates with me. Transportation, while only present and assuming that we wouldn't typically give much thought to in our day-to-day life, does not only move us physically from a place to another, it also propels us forward in our life journey and leads us to many important moments and expectations in our lives. I can think of many memorable moments while on the rails, and for many Hong Kong people, the ever-present sound of ding-ding is often strangely alluring when navigating the busy streets and hectic city lives. DingDing is many of the first in Hong Kong public transport and has not fallen out of the picture since. But the tramways does not just dwell on its legacy in its fast-changing world. It continues to check the boxes for qualities that are just as, if not more, sought after and relevant in today's world as ever. 4 years of continuous infrastructure improvements and innovations, the tramways improves its service in terms of safety, service level, passenger riding comfort, and customer satisfaction. Today, it has the largest fleet of in-service double-decker tram cars in the world, proudly designed and made in Hong Kong, for Hong Kong, and Ding Ding has become a cultural icon that is considered trendy but classic. I noticed that the Hong Kong Trailblazers is launching a citywide celebration campaign, aiming to create memorable journeys for families and tourists and bring joy to everyone in the city. I would like to again congratulate Hong Kong Trailblazers for its 120th birthday and invite everyone to join the celebration. I'm sure the Trailblazers will continue to thrill and inspire us for years to come. By the way, I congratulate Zhang Galao for winning the second gold medal in this early morning, and I wish Olympic Paris Olympic every success in the coming few weeks. I'm sure Hong Kong, I'm sure that Paris Olympic is a success event for Hong Kong. Thank you.
Finally, for Hong Kong tourism, we welcome Mr. Yu Kang Peng, Chairman of Hong Kong Tourist Board.
A part of our heritage and collective DNA, timelessly connecting our vibrant city with the world through our visitors. The Hong Kong Tourism Board is proud to work with Hong Kong Trailblazers to provide unique and exhilarating experiences for both locals and visitors, including the open-top travel-ramic tour showcasing our most spectacular sites. I encourage everyone, locals and visitors alike, to hop aboard any of our trams and explore the hidden corners of our streets, our markets and our city, living out the idea that tourism is everywhere in Hong Kong. On behalf of the Hong Kong Tourism Board, I wish to express our warmest congratulations to Hong Kong Tramways on this milestone 120th anniversary. May your trams continue to connect our city for residents and visitors alike as they continue their epic journey from a rich and storied past towards an even brighter tomorrow. Thank you.
Lots of our old friends here at this event, from bus services, from government, from the transport department and so on. But I was able to catch up with my CILT friend, Vicky Koo. Vicky is not only our CILT person here in Hong Kong, but she chairs Women in Logistics and Transport. I was able to ask her to tell us more about it.
Thank you, Leon. We are a forum of CILT International, and we are so glad to have 11 years of history by now. When we start, it was really a groundbreaking idea at CILT because members and the leadership teams thought, well, women is already part of them. But when we ask for additional attentions and support, and we want to do more to encourage women to join the industry and retain them in the industry to grow their career to the leadership level. So that's why we are persistently developing willets to make more women to fly up high.
That's tremendous. But you've had some illustrious women in transport in Hong Kong already. Commissioner Chan was there, and Dorothy Chan was there, and so on. So we've had some illustrious women in transport in Hong Kong.
Oh yes, we have a lot of capable women in Hong Kong, as you know. Dorothy has been the mastermind for development of the Willett globally. But our first global chair was actually from Nigeria. Her name is Aisha Ibrahim. And then we have our last global chairperson as Gayani. So we are trying to learn from a more diverse group, people from different races, different countries, who can bring in different knowledge for all of us to learn from.
Amazing. Tremendous. And are there some good successes now? Are there some people working their way through the system who are going to be the leaders of tomorrow?
We are constantly grooming our team. For young women, we have a program called the Stars of Willett, which we have a scheme to invite nominations from all countries. We're already established 40 Willett chapters all over the world. So every chapter would nominate the bright young ladies to compete for the only one Stars of Willa of the Year globally. They will be interviewed by our leadership team at CIOT as well as Willard, and they have to be recognized as a very potential young woman. So that's for the young women's development. But around the world, we do try to capture as many successful women in our industry as much as possible. We have our advisors from Nigeria, from Ghana, from Singapore, from Hong Kong, to demonstrate what is successful for us in the industry. So I think this is a very good learning platform. As well as we have capacity building center already established for 3 years, which we give virtual learning programs to educate and nourish women to learn the latest industry news, so that they would know how to excel in their position and climb up their ladders. So we are trying very hard to do so. Mm.
Well, I'm very pleased for you. As you know, we're doing much the same here in the UK. We have women in bus and coach, and we have women in transport. I've been doing some work with my friend Natasha Zulkifli in Malaysia, where each year I go and speak at her Women in Rail conference in Kuala Lumpur. And again, they're extraordinary. We find young women from Malaysia who are fascinated about railway signaling and civil engineering, traffic signal engineering. I mean, these are all male-dominated industries. And to find young women who are really interested in these things. And of course, they sound like they're male-dominated because they're what we might call rougher manual jobs, but in fact they're not, because now lots of jobs in civil engineering and highway engineering and so on are about using your brain, not using your brawn. And so these are ideal locations, industries for women to come and use their intelligence and use their skills in order to do well. And it's been tremendous to see such a huge improvement, as I say, across in Malaysia. And we're seeing it here in the UK. And we've got, of course, we've got women chief executives of our businesses. We've got much better boardroom distribution that's diverse. But we're seeing lots and lots of young women entering the industry and really doing well. So I think, I hope you agree, it seems to be working.
Yes. I have to agree, because the statistics is showing the growing number and in percentage of women in the boardroom in our industry. In fact, we did a survey in Hong Kong on gender diversity, not trying to say that women is more superior, but we were trying to understand what else we can ask the company to support women to do a better job at work. So a survey contributed by 12 companies in Hong Kong from logistics and transport gave us very good information. And we're extending that survey around the world as well to collect more best practices to help women. Don't be shy to get into the boardroom. Don't be shy to talk to the C-suite people, because this is where they need to go to. So we are very happy to be able to do part of it.
Of course. So the work that I've been doing, of course, has been on rail and on bus and coach. What's going on the logistics side? Because it's a much bigger... Is it harder for women to get into the logistics industry?
I would say the situation is very similar for both logistics and transport, because there's, for many good reasons, it has to be male-dominated in the past. Logistics requires working on shift, just like transport people would do. And in certain job titles, you will need to have physical strength and muscles to move something around the warehouse. So it is not friendly for women at all. But thank God, technologies is making it a lot easier for women. And we are seeing ample of opportunities for women to get involved. And but we have to give them the avenue to learn how to think like the owner of the business or the C-suite's people, so that they know what to do the best for the companies. And at the same time, we recognize ESG is very important. So we have a special program on ESG for logistics, which we help people, we help our women to look into the different practices in maritime, aviation, the land operation, as well as in packaging, so that they are not missing out from any of this important industry trends.
So you have a publication, I see, called Spreading Our Wings. What's that all about, Vicky?
We are so proud of that publication. Spreading Our Wings marks the 10th anniversary of Willets globally. It captured the history, how we have came a long way from the first year to 10th year, and our visions of going further. Actually, it comes in a series of slogans for us. Spreading Our Wings as the first step, that we have expanded ourselves globally from 10 chapters to 40 chapters. And now we are in the stage of flying up high, which we are nourishing with knowledge and supports to women to help them to learn how to flock their wings, fly up high until they can break the glass ceiling and reach the sky. So eventually, we want to see them all reach the sky and be in the boardroom with work effectively with men.
Amazing, amazing. And so what would you say if you were talking to, or this podcast was being listened to by young women who were just not sure about joining the logistics and transport industry, despite everything we've talked about, you know, they're also thinking about a career, I don't know, in journalism or in a different industry or in retail or something like that. What would you say to them to encourage them to join transport?
Come to know us. Come join our webinars. It's free of charge for the webinars. And we have enough successful women role modeling for them locally. If they want to meet some of them, we can arrange it to let them know it is not as tough or not as difficult as they may think it is. Many young women, they study in supply chain, logistics and transport at school and in universities, but then they choose to work for other sexier business like finance, banking, investment, somewhere they can, you know, sit down in an aircon room, be comfortable during the day. But actually, logistics and transport will bring down the very vivid day-to-day living operations that they need, and they need to visualize in their real life. It's amazing once you get into it. I personally start with a shipping company when I graduated from a logistics bachelor degree from school. And it's fascinating to be on a boat, on a merchant ships, on container ships, and how things are being moved around the world. It's a fascinating industry and requires a lot of knowledge about legal, about the global trade, the economy developments, geopolitics. It's a lot into it. So please don't be scared by the outlook of it.
So there we have it. There's the message from the chairperson of Global Willett, Vicky Koo, who's telling young people, if you're interested in joining the logistics and transport industry, come along and find out more. It's a lovely industry to be in. It's an industry where it's one big global family and where so many people have found great satisfaction as being part of the logistics and transport industry. And the opportunities for women are absolutely huge. And we'd like to see more young people, young women, in the logistics and transport industry because of all the great opportunities. Vicky, thank you very much indeed. We're surrounded by busy young women here at the Hong Kong Tramway 120th anniversary. And let's hope that the next time we're all together, some of them are in the boardroom and are delighted with the progress they've been made. So, Vicky, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Neon. We hope to see more young women in our industry very soon. Thank you.
And as we traveled through the Hong Kong streets, I was able to have my own conversation with our managing director, Paul Tivordi.
So, Paul, we are here on Tram 128, which enthusiasts will know is the party tram. And we're in the center of Hong Kong with colleagues from RATP Dev, the team here and globally. What are we celebrating, Paul?
We are celebrating the 120th anniversary of Hong Kong Tramways, which is today, on the 30th of July 2024. The tram line opened in Hong Kong 120 years ago, on the 30th of July 1904. And this is a great day for us. We are closing the second cycle in the Chinese calendar, the second 60-year cycle in the Chinese calendar. And I'm very happy to be here with Leon.
So, Paul, I've been coming to Hong Kong for a long time. The trams all look the same, but they're all different. So, what happened?
So we try to do our best to keep the tram image, appearance, external design, which is well beloved by Hong Kong people, by visitors, by tourists, and by tram fans all over the world. But at the same time, we modernize the trams from the inside by installing new systems, new devices, new sensors, making use of data, new technologies to make them even more efficient and serve our customers.
Well, it's fascinating because we've just been at the depot at Whitty Street. And of course, you make everything, don't you? You do everything. This is a completely vertically integrated business.
Yes, the trams are made in Hong Kong. Actually, there's no more supplier for this the double-decker Ding Ding tram. So we assemble our team. They assemble the trams, these double-decker trams in the depot. They do almost everything by themselves. They maintain the tram and repair the tram. Every time when there is a breakdown, they find the unique component which is defaulted, and they change these components. They are extremely skilled and experimented on this this tram system. So we have a very integrated approach on about the tram system.
Well, it is absolutely amazing, and obviously the trams are a real part of the whole city of Hong Kong. But people don't realize it's an RATP Dev contract. So here we are, the people that run the Paris Metro, the people who are running transport services around the world, are running the trams here in Hong Kong.
So we respect the identity of Hong Kong Tramways. Hong Kong Tramways, first and foremost, is a Hong Kong company, a local company. It is owned by RATP and part of RATP Group, but we are a global company with a local approach. So we try to mix the both, to have the local brand with the support from the group, the experts, the support from the experts of different subsidiaries, and a very balanced approach.
Well, there are people going to be listening to this story, Paul, who think you've got the best job in public transport in the world. Does it feel like it to you?
Yeah, it is true. Actually, my predecessor told me that it was the best job in the RATP Group. And I thought it was a very good job, but I didn't really believe him at that time. And now I know what he meant. And I think this is definitely one of the best jobs in public transport industry in the world. Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. Paul, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much, Leon.
So there we have it, recorded at the end of July in Hong Kong, celebrating 120 years of the iconic Hong Kong tram system. What a great time that was. So this has been Lunch with Leon, which is produced in conjunction with Passenger Transport magazine. Do go across and take a look at passengertransport.co.uk, the leading magazine for the public transport sector here in the UK. Lunch with Leon is available on all of your devices. Please do subscribe. And if you have the time, please send us a rating or a recommendation. That'd be really good. We've got a growing band of international listeners here on Lunch with Leon. And please spread the word, because I'm sure your colleagues would love it as much as you do and as much as I do making it. So that's it for now. We'll be back with another episode really soon.